Father, we thank you, Lord, again. We have another opportunity to fellowship around the Word of God. Blessings to the name of the Lord for that. And we thank you, Lord, as we look at these scriptures. We declare that the entrance of your Word will bring light and will give understanding into our hearts. And let there be an encouragement and a lifting up even here today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to read, our topic today, of course, is there is lifting up. Therefore, lift up your heads. There is lifting up and therefore lift up your heads. I'm going to first of all read a text of scripture. Take my scripture reading today from the book of Job, chapter 22. It's going to read from verses 21 to 30. Let's just make this our scripture reading for today. Praise the Lord. For this morning. Job 22 and 21. Acquaint now thyself with the Lord and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. And that's good admonition. And, the way to get good things from the Lord is to become intimate with the Lord. Acquaint now thyself with him. He will even put you in a position, a posture of peace when you do that. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt also pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall say, the humble person. And he shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. So today we want to say that there is lifting up. Everybody has challenges, sometimes even afflictions, problems, and so forth. Well, what do we do? Psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why many? Why not few? I remember as a young man, I used to hear my dad quote the scripture in prayer. And I often wonder that, well, I don't know about that. I used to think, the righteous, why should the righteous be afflicted? Let the affliction be upon those who are unrighteous. But let the righteous go scot-free and just scale through life. That's what I thought. It's a young boy. As I grew older, I realized that there is so much truth to that scripture. Many, indeed, are the afflictions of the righteous. But the good thing is the Lord delivers him out of them all. Praise the Lord. David had his share of afflictions. And there were many times that his soul was cast down. But he knew how to encourage himself. He would say things like in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. And he would say things like, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Well, that's a question he asked himself at all times when he was in distress. And he encouraged his own soul by saying, "Hope thou in God," was talking to himself, "for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." No matter what he was going through, he remembered, you know, that he could encourage himself. And he determined that he was yet going to praise the Lord, no matter what he went through. Psalm 42, verse 5. He says the same thing in verse 11 of the same chapter. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God," he said, "for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." And then again in Psalm 43 and verse 5, he says the same thing. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So you can see there were multiple times that he was encouraging himself not to be cast down. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read the story of the distress that befell him and a group of people that were with him. The story in Ziklag, where, you know, they had gone to battle. They followed David. Several people followed him at the time. Mostly the people that were discouraged, disenchanted with the system and so forth. And they said, well, they'll follow David, but they followed him into a war that didn't even concern them. And by the time they came back, their city had been besieged and laid to waste. Their sons and daughters and wives had been carried away. And everybody was in distress. They lamented, they cried until there was no strength in them to cry anymore. They put ashes on their heads even. And they even thought of stoning David. Because he said, "It's because of you that all these things befell us." And David found strength in the Lord to encourage himself. Said David was very distressed, greatly distressed. But the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters and their wives and so on. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think this Psalm 42 was probably one of those times, those kind of statements of "my soul, why art thou cast down within me?" You know, and he encouraged himself, you know, to bestir himself and trust in the Lord. And he said, well, I will still praise him. The scripture recognizes that from time to time, we will have situations, you know, that of distress. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. We know that. Everybody knows that. But what do you do is the thing, you know, when you know, are overwhelmed, or seems like overwhelming barrage of situations or problems. It may be one, or there may be many things happening at once, or even the one thing may be too strong or too heavy for you to carry, whatever it is. You know, there are some prescriptions that the Lord gives us in the scriptures of what to do. For instance, in the book of James chapter 5, here are some prescriptions of what to do in different situations. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, is there any among you that is afflicted? Well, if you are afflicted by whatever afflictions, let him pray. That's God's prescription. When you are afflicted and your soul is in sorrow, you know, your soul is grieved, I'm exceedingly sorrowful. There was a time also that Jesus was exceeding sorrowful unto death. He went to this place called the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Took a few, you know, a handful, three disciples with him. And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. You stay here and watch with me unto prayer. And he went deeper into the garden and prayed. You know, he was distressed and he prayed. So the Bible says, well, if you're afflicted and distressed, you should pray. Is there anyone among you that is merry? Well, there are times of affliction. There are times of merriment. When you're afflicted, pray. The scripture says, when you are merry, sing psalms and rejoice. That's right. These are the prescriptions. Is there any among you that is sick? That it seems to be a commonplace thing today. Everywhere you turn, the people of God are afflicted with one sickness or the other. Here is a simple prescription. And you are sick, call for the elders of the church. Now, you got to have a church, a home church. Everybody should have a place they call their home church where they go. Well, in your community, somewhere physical, apart from this virtual gathering that we do every day. You know, and when you are afflicted, when you are with sickness, you know, this prescription says, call for the elders of the church. You know, it's a good thing for us to just do what God says and put the burden back on the Lord to confirm his word. You know, if the Lord says, when you are sick, call for the elders of the church, you know, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Well, that's what God said. Well, let's put it to the test then. You know, with faith in our hearts. You are sick, call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over that sick person and let them anoint that sick person with oil in the name of the Lord. We're told that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not only that, you know, if you have committed any sins, we're told that shall be forgiven him. Now, we're not told here that every sickness because of sins, it just says, if you have committed any sins. We don't know, but, you know, we pray. Because there may be situations, sins may be a blocker for the healing. There was a time that some four friends brought a man to Jesus who was sick of the palsy. They carried him on a stretcher. And they couldn't get through the house, we're told. They went through the roof. They laid him before Jesus. And Jesus, I mean, these people were looking for healing for their friend. But Jesus says to them when he saw their faith, this story is in Luke chapter 5. When Jesus saw their faith, we're told in Luke chapter 5 verse 20, he said unto the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they came for healing. Jesus is talking about your sins. You know, so God, Jesus knows that the sins can be a blocker. And he would address the sins in this particular situation. He wanted to do that. Also to illustrate a point. God, Jesus knew what will follow in the hearts of the people. So when he said, thy sins are forgiven thee, rather than addressing the sickness, you address the sin. And then we're told that the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason among themselves and saying, who is this man that speaketh such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, he knew their thoughts, and he asked them a question. Why do you reason like this in your hearts? Tell me, which one is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? Well, let me ask you that question here today. Same question that Jesus asked. Which one is easier? Jesus knew that it's easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's easier. Because you can say it and, you know, nobody knows that anything happened. There's nothing visible that may happen when you say your sins are forgiven thee. You're saved. Yeah. Whether the sins are forgiven the man or not, nobody can tell because you can't see anything happening, you know. So Jesus said, look, I've said an easy thing and you guys are, you know, wondering in your hearts, why can I say it? Because they didn't know truly who he was. He said, well, I tell you what, in order, you know, for you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, because you thought, why can I say this to this man? And that was easy. You know, easy thing to say that sins be forgiven thee. Whether it happens or not, nobody can see. But this man is visibly lying down on a couch, on a stretcher. He turned to the man that's lying on the couch and said, well, I'm going to tell you now, the harder of the two things to do is to tell this man to rise up. Because if he doesn't rise up in the presence of you, that's harder. So he says to the man that's on the palsy, he says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately, I love that word immediately, the man rose up before them, took up whereon he lay, and departed, glorifying God. And the people said, my goodness, we never seen such strange things like this today. And Jesus showed that he could do it. You know, so the book of James also tries to address that by saying, well, in case there are any sins that may be blocking that, well, pray for that as well. They will also be forgiven him. Because Jesus also said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And if you are merry, or sing songs. If you are afflicted or distressed, pray. Many people, when they are distressed, they don't pray. Rather than pray, they go into further depression. They withdraw themselves. And when you withdraw yourself, chances are you are open to more attack. You know, there is strength in numbers when you are gathered together with your brethren. But when you are all alone, it can be an easy target. Even in the animal kingdom, we see that. You know, the lone deer that wandered away from the pack is an easier target for the prowling lion that's waiting. You know, when they are all clustered together like that, it doesn't know which one to attack. And they are a defense system when they are cluttered together. But the one that wanders away from the pack, and the lion sets his gaze on that one is dead meat. That's it. There's no escaping. Many people withdraw themselves when they are going through. Why would you do that? You know, pray and get encouragement as well. And a gallon of chocolate ice cream is not going to help you either. And some people, that's what they do when they are depressed. You know, go and eat something as if that would help. It's not going to help. You know, you will need to pray. You also need to stir up yourself. These are the prescriptions that God has given us. What do I mean by stirring up yourself and lifting up your head? Well, let's talk about it. You know, in the book of Psalm 24, we read in verses 7 to 10, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. You know, we ourselves could be called kids. And, you know, we could be in a situation where our heads are down, right? Because of situations. And why would you continue to bury your head when your head, I mean, when you're going through a situation? Whereas the Lord said, lift up your head. Why do we call people, you know, I mean, why is it that, you know, the Lord say that you should lift up your heads? Why do we call people that? You know, that down, you know, why do you, I mean, why does he call that out to people is what I want to say. Why does he say that? Well, because you have the ability to actually lift up your heads. There are sometimes that the Lord will have to lift up, help you to lift up certain things, but there are some things that you can do for yourself as well. Psalm 3 verse 3 says, the Lord is your glory and the lifter up of your head. In this case, the Lord will help you to lift up your head. In another place, the Lord said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come on in. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Again, he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory might come in. Again, he asked the same question. Who is this King of glory that can come into your life? The Lord mighty in battle. But you got to lift up those, your head, you know, and you got to look for his salvation. You know, the little children, they typify this story so well. And a little child comes towards the parent, you know, or a known family member, and they want to be carried. They do that especially with their parents. They lift up their head and they lift up their arms in order to be carried. That's what they do. They look toward the parent and lift up their arms to be carried. Well, no child wants to be carried that comes to the parent and sticks their head down. They're lifting up their heads and lifting up their arms because they want to be carried. We ought to also be doing the same. Lift up your heads and lift up your arms, and the Lord will carry you. Isaiah 52 verse 2 also says, you have a role in this thing when you are distressed. When there is a situation normally that you would have put ashes on your head and sit down in the dust and licking your wounds and so forth. No, that's one way that we can try to deal with the situation. That may not work. Another way is for you to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Shake thyself from the dust. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Lose thyself from the bands around your neck. Devil say, you know, you're not strong enough to get out of my clutches. And you tell the devil, today I am. Glory to God. Today I am. Because I'm drawing on the strength of the Lord. The devil will remind you of the various times that he defeated you in the past. Or you lost. Or some evil thing or whatever. But today, say, well, that was then, but this is now. Today, I'm ready. And I got the Lord in my corner. And I will not let my head be bowed down. I'm going to lift up my head. Because the Lord said, there is a lifting up. Praise the Lord. There is indeed a lifting up. John 16:33 talks about many sorrows and afflictions and different things that we will see in the world, Jesus said, shall have these tribulations and these problems. But he said, be of good cheer because I have overcome, you know, already for you. You got to encourage yourself like that. Why do we have challenges and difficulties. Why is it not all the time everything's always smooth? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14 gives us the secret. In the day of prosperity, he said, rejoice. That's when you are merry. Well, rejoice and sing psalms and shout victory and praise the Lord. But think about this, he said. In the day of adversity, consider that there is a reason why God puts the two of them side by side. What's that reason? Well, so that people will always look to the Lord. Yeah, if it's always good, we may think, well, you know, it's all good. And you forget that it's the Lord that's making it good. Now, if it's always bad, people may be so drowned in their sorrow that they can't even pray to the Lord. So there's a balance. There's a balance of night and day also. It's not always night. Neither is it always day. In fact, the Lord divided the night from the day. He allocated so many hours to the night and so many hours to the day. But he left the two of them side by side. Until this day, there's always night and there's always day. In the night, Psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, says, sorrow may endure for a night. The break of day gives us hope when you are going through those sorrowful moments, that these two shall pass. And it's at some point in time that day must break. That's the way I always think of it. Say, hey, the day must break. This night cannot be night forever. You know, at some point, you know, that's going to be the dawning of a new day. Glory to God. So we can think of that. But there's a reason why the Lord put the light and the darkness, Genesis 1 verses 3 to 5. Put them side by side. There's a reason for it. The posture that God wants us to take is a posture of an overcomer. We were talking about this, you know, just the other day. Are you a winner? Glory to God. Now, Paul said, I am a winner. That's what he said. He gave his own testimony and a statement of faith, declaration of faith, you might call it. In Romans 8, 35 to 39, gave those powerful declarations. And look, I don't care what's going on. I don't care whether it's tribulation or peril or sword or whether I'm up or down or whether angels or principalities, things present or things to come. It doesn't matter. I'm a winner, he said. I'm more than conqueror. He was always trying to lift up his head. And then in the midst of this present world, we're going to have all kinds of threats, economic woes, economic crisis, situations and so forth. Even sometimes when we say, oh, something is happening in a far region, but the ripple effect, the next thing you know, affecting even the economy back home and different things like that. Well, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28? There's always a lifting up from Jesus, a lifting up of the head. So when you begin to see these things starting to come to pass, all these evils and distress upon nations, you know, and so forth. So, well, lift up your heads. Look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption is drawing near. Look up your heads, you know, in expectation. That's how it is always when you want to expect. There were stories in the Bible of people who were begging for alms, you know. Sitting at the gate as they were going to the temple for prayer. Peter and John, at the hour of prayer, this man sitting at the temple, expecting. Or Peter said, well, look on us. You know, so you got to gaze upon the source for your hope. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We got to lift up our heads. No matter what you are going through, don't let your head be bowed down. There's another statement from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. We're buffeted on every side. All these things come to us. It doesn't matter. We keep going. You know, we're not going to let these challenges keep us troubled on every side, he said. But we're not distressed. I'm not going to go into depression just because of, you know, challenges. Challenges happen to everybody. You know? Solomon said, time and chance happen to all. Sometimes we are in perplexed, you know, situations, but we don't lose hope of life. We don't despair of life. Sometimes we are persecuted, but we know the Lord has not forsaken us. Sometimes we are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Whatever the situation is, you know, we can lift up our heads. It's a conscious effort. In fact, the scripture says, lift up the hands that hang down. Confirm the feeble knees. You got to take action. You know, how we wish that, you know, every day and all day long, we could just have, you know, this joyful stance and no problem and so forth. Well, you can be joyful, not because you don't have any problems, but you can, it's a decision and a choice that you make. Now, peace can be defined as absence of trouble, where there is no evil occurrence. And God can do that. But you can also have peace even in the middle of going through the storm. You know, now, if the Lord grants us our peace by removing stress and everything around us is calm, well, that's great. Well, praise the Lord for that. And there are situations in the scriptures where God did that for, you know, some of the kings of Judah. He would say, well, the Lord gave them rest from every side. You know, there was no war around them. And they were at peace, sometimes for years, you know. And in such cases, like in the story of Asa, when there was, he had a situation when there was peace like that, well, he decided to use it to do more for the Lord. He said, well, this is the time. We're all at rest. Well, let's build. Let's do stuff. You know, in the case of Solomon, we read in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4, this was his testimony. He said, now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, that there is neither adversary or evil occurrence. Yeah, so that can be a wonderful situation to praise the Lord. Yeah, when there is no evil, when there is, everything is going well. Yeah. Can you praise the Lord during that time? Or do you even forget the Lord when things are good? But what about when things are not so good? Because life is a mixture of all these things. Can you have peace even when there is no peace all around? Can you have rest when there is, you know, all around trouble? Can you have rest in the midst of the storm? Can you have quietness in the midst of uncertainty and so on? Well, that's the thing. You know, it's my exhortation today is, look, no matter what, make up your mind how you're going to respond. Everybody goes through these things. The only advantage that we have as believers is we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the consolation of the scriptures. But just because you are a believer doesn't mean we're not going to go through. We all go through. But we do have the grace of God and the Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, Paul said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. You know, well, you can't triumph unless there's something to triumph over. You can't be an overcomer unless there's something to overcome. And so these things are always there. But the posture that we must have, what you must do, is lift up your head. Because God said there's a lifting up. God wants you to lift up your head. Don't put ashes on your head. You're a daughter of the king, a son of the king. Don't wear, you know, filthy garments. rags, you know. People used to do that. Culture, when the evil happened, they, you know, tear themselves, wear sackcloth, put ashes on their head, and go every day mourning in the distress of their spirit. The Lord said, well, lift up your heads, because there is a lifting up. Praise the Lord. Lift up your heads. There was another testimony that Paul gave in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. You know, he had many testimonies such as this. He said, well, there's all kinds of things that I'm going through, but, you know, don't, these things do not move me, he said. Well, do these things move you? He said, the Holy Spirit has told me that there's going to be bonds and afflictions waiting for me everywhere I go. He said, well, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, so he said, look, none of these things move me. You know, and neither should we allow any of these things to move you. These things will happen. You know, Micah gave a good testimony. Micah chapter 7 verse 8, he said, look, there will be times that it might look like my enemies got the upper hand, dealt me a blow that knocked me on my behind. But I will not stay down for the count. You know, I'm going to bounce back in the name of the Lord. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, he said. When I fall, I shall arise. Well, it'll fall through many means. Sometimes it's because of lack of wisdom, foolishness on our part, or carelessness when you're not paying attention. Devil gives you a cheap shot, you know, whatever. But whatever the reason is, this man said, look, when I fall or get knocked down, I'm going to get up. Ha! Glory to God. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. Let me talk about sitting in darkness for just a minute. You know, the entrance of God's word brings light. We know that. So when the word of God is not forthcoming in your situation, it looks like you are in darkness. Now, you know, I mean, there are days when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you like that. You're on the cloud. You know, you're on the clouds. You're just on the mountaintop. You hear the Lord clearly. Ask, you hear, you seek, you find, he tells you point blank. And then sometimes, all of a sudden, you know, the heavens are brass, you pray, God doesn't answer, it seems. You can't hear a word from the Lord. And you're looking for that word, you can't get it. Now, that's what means sitting in darkness means. Yeah, because now there is no light. You know, the word of God is what brings light. And if that word is not coming, then your soul sits in darkness. Your soul is famished, distressed. You can't hear from the Lord. Well, this man said, even in those moments when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. There are times that we can feel like our whole world is crumbling. And what do you do? It's a you know, this exhortation today is about, you know, the choices of the actions you choose to take. It's not that these situations will not be there. It's not that you won't have these challenges and so forth, but it's what do you choose to do? That's how Habakkuk said it. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, Habakkuk 3 and 17, neither shall there be fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I mean, all these things, financial crisis. I mean, this man's going bankrupt and everything, he's losing everything. Lost his investment, probably lost his house, lost his livelihood, lost everything. Remember, cattle and all of that is what they used to do back then. In today's contemporary world, you can substitute other things for cattle and, you know, flocks and so forth here. But whatever it is that he had going on, everything turned upside down. He lost everything. He's now in distress. Well, he made a choice. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Just like David. Why thou cast down, O my soul? I will yet praise God for the light of his countenance. I mean, these people made a choice. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength, even through this situation. He hung on to the Lord. He said, look, I'm going to make my joy and my, you know, thing in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice. That's it. The Lord is going to be a light unto me. And he, you know, is declaring better things for himself. Say, look, my bitter waters will be turned to sweetness. The Lord will make my feet like hinds' feet, cause me to ride upon my high places again. People are at one time on top, and they're down. Sometimes you're on top of the mountain, sometimes you're down the valley. In the moments when you're down the valley, remember that God is able to lift you up again. Praise the Lord. Don't let fear keep you in that valley. Pride will cause people to fall from the mountaintop sometimes, and foolishness. But, you know, and pride will cause them to fall from a place of honor that God gave them. Because the Bible says pride goes before, you know, destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then fear will keep people in the valley. You know, you're afraid to climb that mountain. You know, but you got to climb that mountain. You got to dig yourself out of it. And the Lord will help you. You know, and sometimes you say, Lord, help me. The Lord said, I will help you, but you got to do this and this. You know, so when the Lord gives us instruction, one of the things he said you must do today is lift up your head. You know, our God will come. He will save your day. He always does that, but you got to lift up your head. You cannot see his salvation coming if you have your head down. Lift up your head. Be looking. Be expecting. Praise God. Expecting. Looking. Say, I know the Lord is coming. I know something is coming. You're always looking for it. You know, if you can't find it in one place, you're looking for another. Some people say when a door is closed, look for an open window. Well, whichever way, but don't keep your head down. Lift up your head. You know, don't let the devil even see that he got the better of you. Don't give the devil that satisfaction. You know, and say, well, my God is with me. He will help me. Isaiah's testimony, he said, look, I know the Lord God will help me. Things don't look good right now, but he's going to pull me out of it, and I'm going to put up my game face, and I'm not going to be ashamed. I will not be confounded. The Lord will help me. Isaiah 50:7. And then he says, he comes around and says, well, he says in the same Isaiah 50, he asks a question. He said, well, this is my posture. I have determined that I will not be dismayed. I will not be confounded. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and the Lord is going to help me, because the Lord already told him, I will help you. In verse chapter 41 and verse 10 of Isaiah, the Lord told him, I'm going to help you. I will uphold you. The right hand of my righteousness, and so on. So when now he got into a situation of distress, he said, well, I know the Lord will help me, because he said so. Now he turns around and asks everybody this question. What do you do? He said. Who among you, in verse 10 of Isaiah 50, who among you is one that feared the Lord and obeyed the voice of his servant, and yet walking in darkness? You say, well, you're doing everything you know to do, but there is no light. We look for light, but darkness came. We look for peace, but we found trouble. You know, and so on and so forth. So what do you do when you fear the Lord? You obey the voice of his servant. You do the best you can to walk in the integrity of your heart. And yet trouble came. What do you do? And there was a man called Job. He was actually doing well. Walking in the integrity of his heart, the Lord, he was even bragging about him. Hast thou seen my servant Job, that there is none like him, nor the other man that feareth God and escheweth evil, and so on. Yeah, God was bragging about him. But yet trouble came, you know. And when trouble comes like that, Isaiah said, what do you do when you're doing what you know to do? And yet, instead of light, you have darkness. You know, what do you do? Well, the answer is this. Let him trust in the name of the Lord his God. And let him stay upon his God. Stay right there. Don't give an inch. You know, just because the answer isn't forthcoming, don't quit on the Lord now. You stay right there, you know, and the Lord is going to come through for you. Praise the Lord. So every day may not be the same. Some days you may be on the mountaintop. You are rejoicing. There's good news in the family and great things are happening. Well, I pray that it will always be like that. We never have, you know, the other side, but the other side does happen. And what do you do, you know, when you are going through? What must be your reaction? The book of Job that we started with this morning, we read it say, when men are cast down, you will be saying there's a lifting up. When there's enough situation and enough evidence, you know, and facts around you to cause your head to be down, you know, when nothing is going well, situation, economy, everything, evil news, evil times, and so forth. What will you be doing? You got to say that there is lifting up. There's lifting up from the Lord. Not only for you, but you be an encourager to others. There's lifting up. Let's believe the Lord together. There is lifting up. You know, so let's not use our mouth to say that there is evil in the land. Always say that there is lifting up. Hallelujah. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's coming. Our God will come and he will save us. You know, those are the things that we must be declaring. Got to be positive like that. You know, say, look, I know, you know, right now we're going through. When you're going through, gather your children, you know, believe the Lord together and say, hey, look, our Lord is coming. He will come and he will save us. Glory to God. And when he comes, well, all eyes will see it. And we will praise the Lord together. That's it. We know that the Lord is coming and he is going to save us. I want to speak to fearful hearts today. Glory to God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 54, it says, Isaiah chapter 35 verse 4. It says, say to those that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, our God will come, and he will save you. He's coming. Come into that situation. But Jesus said, well, when I do come, shall I find you still believing? Luke chapter 18 verse 8. Will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have quit? Many people quit while the answer is waiting. The children, while they're waiting for the answer seems to be delayed. In the children of Israel, when Moses tarried long and didn't come back down from that mountain, they looked for him. They couldn't find him because they couldn't go up to the mountain. It was their choice anyway. They said, we can't hear the voice of God. You go hear it and come and tell us. And when he went to hear it, you know, then they said, we don't know what has become of this Moses. It's been gone now 40 days. We don't know. See, they were quickly removed from their posture of believing God. Well, many of them did not believe anyway. It was always a mixed multitude. And there were opportunities for them, you know, many chances they got to either believe God or, you know, want to go back to Egypt. But we see a pitiful situation. Very, very pitiful. Because they themselves would not have a direct relationship with the Lord. You know, when they man of God was not there to give them a word, then they quickly turned to the golden calf. And this is the problem with people today. If you don't develop your own relationship with the Lord, and what happens when the person that you are trusting to be the one to hear from God to tell it to you is no longer there to tell it to you? What are you going to do? You're going to go to the golden calf? That's what they did. Bible says in Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, he was only gone for 40 days. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, make us gods that will go before us. Because as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. You know, their hearts quickly turned backwards. Whereupon the Lord was angry with all of them and destroyed many of them. So, while you're waiting for an answer from God, don't turn to the golden calf. The Lord, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. And these people, their hearts were quickly turned away from the Lord. The Lord wants to see, and sometimes he will allow some tests to come to see, you know, what stuff you're made of. Bible says he tests every son that he receives, but he will not allow. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your strength. He already knows what you can handle, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Lord knows your strength, and he will not allow any temptation or any crisis, you know, or any trial or tribulation to come to you that is greater than your strength. But even with every such thing, he will always make a way of escape. But you got to look for that way. You can't find it if your head is down. Keep your head up and believe the Lord. Praise God. Well, that's my exhortation today. That's it. But I want to say, let's follow God's admonitions and prescriptions. You know, when you're down or the devil tells you all is down, well, you say there's lifting up. When the devil says, reminds you of your past defeats, and he said, you can't do it, your answer should be, today I can. That's right. Because now I figured out that the Lord is my strength. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The devil always try to bring your past defeats and say that, look, you couldn't do it then, and you still won't do it now. I say, well, maybe I didn't do it then, but today, we're talking about a different story. Today, I can. Hallelujah. I can do all things. There are times that I've had to respond to the devil like that. I say, well, you can't do that. I say, well, yes, I can. Today, I can. And I will, because the Lord is my strength. Glory to God. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ. And lift up your head. Don't be bowed down. If you are sick, call for the elders of the church. You know, if you are in distress, pray. If you are happy, well, sing psalms and rejoice. Gather your friends and rejoice. That's right. It's an opportunity for rejoicing. I pray that the voice of merriment, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, will return to your tents, everybody. That the Lord will bring that to your lives again. There may have been times when you had that rejoicing, but you looked today, maybe you've been looking for peace, but trouble came. You're looking for light, but darkness came. But the Lord said, look again. Praise God. When you've given up, when you quit, the Lord said, do it again. Peter in Luke chapter 5, he gave up and packed in the nets, and they were washing out everything. And said, well, that's it. Nothing happening today. The Lord came in there and said, do it again. Launch out into the deep and do it again. Glory to God. Peter said, well, I don't know. I've been there, done that all night long, caught nothing. But as he was saying that, he remembered. Who is speaking? This is the master When the Lord speaks, that's it. You know, he's the one that speaks and it is done. He's the one that commands and he stands fast. And the moment that Jesus said that word, all the fish that were in that lake or sea or wherever they were, they heard the voice of the master. And they're going in the direction of where Jesus pointed Peter to. The fish are going there. All the fish that wouldn't come earlier, now the voice of the master, they're coming. And when Peter went out there, he said, nevertheless, I know, at thy word, I will do this. And this is how you use the word of the Lord to separate your soul and your spirit. Separate your spirit from that depression. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells you how to do it. He said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, what are the things that it can do? And how can it do it? Remember, we are triune beings. You got body, soul, and spirit. The soul is where all the emotions are. The doubting, the unbelieving, the joy, the sadness, the sorrow, the anger, the distress, the pain, the disappointments, all in the soul. That can filter to the spirit at times. You know? And even sorrow of heart can open doors to sickness in the body. But there is a way that the word of God can separate. See, the word of God appears even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. How do you do it? Well, you do exactly what Peter did. In his soul, he was disappointed and distressed and discouraged. He said, well, I don't know. I've been there all night. We caught nothing. That was his soul speaking. But immediately, he used the word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit. He said, nevertheless, I know. According to thy word, I'm going to do it, just like you said. Ah, thy word, I'm going to do it. And he did. And my goodness, that was such a great catch. You know, so you take the word of God with you. When your soul is in distress, that's normal. The only way that you are not going to have moments of distress in your soul is if you are not human. As long as you're human, you're going to have those moments. But what do? You take the word of God that says, lift up your head. That's lifting up and encouragement from the scriptures. You use that to divide between your soul and the spirit. You put the soul in its place. Say, soul, why are thou distressed? Why are thou disquieted within me? I'm not going to follow that, you know, depression. I'm going to rejoice. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance. It looks like I'm in darkness now, but light is coming. Praise God. You begin to speak it. And remember, there is power in your words. When your words align with God's words. There was darkness. Was God discouraged just because there was darkness? No. He didn't like the darkness. He spoke the light out of darkness. Say, light, come out there. Let there be light, he said, and there was light. You can speak, let there be light to your situation. You can say, let there be a lifting up to any downers. All the things that are trying to create and, you know, block you from going forward, they are blockers. You know, sorrow of heart, bad news, all these things, distress, sickness, disease, what have you. So our blockers prevent you from going forward. A darkness is a blocker too. When it's dark, people can't really do anything. Well, speak the light. Glory to God. Cause light to shine out of darkness. Let there be rejoicing for you. Even today in Jesus' name. Let the bitter waters be made sweet. But you must raise your head up. Don't bow down your head in shame. No. That child of the king. Glory to God. Walk with your head up. You know, no matter what is going on underneath. Walk with victory. Walk tall. Glory to God. Yeah. God said, look, I don't want you to be bent over. You know, when people are bent over because of burdens, God hates it. You know, Jesus said, come unto me and I will lighten those burdens. I don't want you to be bent over like that. In fact, I loosened you from it because I did not want you to be bent over. I want you to go upright. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13. I am the Lord, your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. And out of any distress and problem that you are in, God's able to do the same. You know, I did not want you to continue to be their bondmen. I brought you out that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. God doesn't want to be bent over with our heads down. No. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Looks like if the King of glory can't come in until you raise up those heads. Lift up those heads. Lift up those hands. You want to be lifted up? Well, lift up your hands and they carry you. Glory to God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children and the short words of exhortation here today. Let there be a lifting up in the name of Jesus. And cause us, O Lord, to take on this posture that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Well, you got to raise up your head to do that. From whence cometh my help? Glory to God. I will not be bowed down. You know, the Lord said, I will cause you to go upright. Don't be bent over. You know, lose yourself from the pants around your neck. Shake yourself from the dust. Get the, you know, heavy burdens off your back. The Lord said, I've done it. Where you needed help, you couldn't do it. I've done it for you. But you must rejoice. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me trade burdens. Trade yours with mine. My burdens are not quite as heavy as yours, you know. I've taken away the sting. You know, my yoke is easy. My burdens are light. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. There's encouragement in the spirit today. There's situations around you that will cause you to be in distress. Cause your head to be down normally. But your reaction today must be, I will lift up my head. The King of glory is coming into this situation. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory for all your children. Cause their heads to be lifted up, Lord. You are their glory and the lifter up of their heads. Psalm 3 and verse 3 says, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.